The final report into the missing flight MH370 has been delivered 4 years after the plane's mysterious disappearance. The Malaysian Airlines plane vanished from the radar screens, carrying 239 people, including six Australians, en route from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing in March 2014. The findings were inconclusive, leaving families deflated and hurt. We're going to have a chat with Byron Bailey. Byron's a former RAAF pilot, former captain for Emirates Airlines. And he's been all over this story. He's been writing about it, well, basically for the last 4 years. Byron, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, now, Byron.
The one little glimpse I got out of all this without reading the tons and tons and tons of material that came out was the comment that said that first turn that the plane made off its course, that first turn was done by human hand.
Yes. The radius of the turn meant the angle of bank was greater than the autopilot would deliver because, excuse me, above 30,000 feet, autopilots go to what's known as half bank to keep the turn more gentle. So they've just confirmed that a pilot was in control at long last.
All right. Now that would mean, for us conspiracy theorists, that would mean either the pilot, the co-pilot, or perhaps a passenger who was a pilot who took control of the plane. In other words, this is human action. It's not some mysterious disappearance because of autopilots and machinery and so on.
Yes, but the Prime Minister, weeks after the plane disappeared, said that it was human intervention. His wife confirmed it. And then they suddenly went all quiet on that. And our ATSB went, oh, well, it's a ghost flight then. Something happened. And the funny thing is, I mean, I think this report is an insult to the families. It's an insult to the international aviation community. They basically threw in a red herring of a third person. Well, it would have to have been someone with Boeing 777 expertise. And the thing is, the cabin door's always locked and there's a camera. You can see who's on the outside. Mm. And for someone to get in means they'd have to get past the cabin crew. They'd have to get through a locked reinforced door. They'd have to overpower the pilot and then turn off the communication equipment to make the aircraft...
All right. That would mean then, if you say that would be very, very difficult, that would mean it has to be either the pilot or the co-pilot or both.
It couldn't be the co-pilot. He was a new young guy doing his line training. He wouldn't have had the expertise to do this.
So it gets down to the it gets down to the pilot then?
Yeah, there's a fair bit of motive. There's stuff out there that I've found out talking to criminal investigative people over in Los Angeles last year. We need a proper inquiry into this. This is a cover-up, without a doubt.
Yeah, Byron, so in your opinion, and let's face it, you've been a former RAF pilot and you're a former captain of Emirates, flying big passenger planes. What do you believe happened? What's your honest gut feeling about what happened?
My honest gut feeling, ever since the insider in Canberra told me about the FBI had found this deleted flight plan on the captain's home computer that led a waypoint of 44 latitude 44 south in the southern Indian Ocean. And this was 4 years ago, I was told this. Why would you plan a flight to the southern Indian Ocean? I mean, if you're going to use a home simulator, you fly Airways. And I thought, this basically confirms that the captain did it. But the FBI, our ATSB sat on that information, even though I'd mentioned it in the Daily Telegraph, until the New Yorker magazine exposed it. And then they went all quiet about that.
All right. And the other piece of information that I picked up coming out of that was that all the indications were that the flaps were, what's the expression, the flaps forward or the flaps down?
Down.
Which indicate that the plane was actually went into a controlled descent rather than crashed. In other words, there was somebody at the wheel, so to speak, at the controls, who landed that plane, took it down into a landing into the ocean.
The report actually says that the flap and flaperon were probably retracted. Mm-hmm. That's all they said, probably. In other words, they don't know. Now, I received an email from Larry Vance, the NTSB investigator that was on the 60 Minutes program. We've been communicating a lot. Just 2 days ago, the French released details of their report, and they have the flaperon in Toulouse, where it's home of Airbus Industries. Centre of Engineering Excellence for Aviation. And these guys put out a report that they gave to the Malaysians and ATSB 2 years ago that said the flap was down.
Right.
ATSB has denied that and gone along with this, oh, we don't know, we don't know. And we only just found out from the French that the flap was down. It can only be down if a pilot is alive.
If a pilot's there. Now, so you say cover up. The big question, Byron, is why? Why the cover up? What are they protecting? What's going on here?
Well, you can understand the Malaysians. If it's proved that a captain planned and murdered 238 people by hijacking the airplane for various motives, we believe, but that would be the end of Malaysian Airlines. It would be embarrassing, the financial, political liability. It would be enormous. And I think our ATSB right at the start, and someone probably from above, and I really would like Warren Truss asked about this because he was the Transport Minister at the time. Why did you guys, with no evidence, decide to go with a ghost flight theory?
Mm. And now the last figure I heard reading in the Australian newspaper, I think it was, that it's cost the Australian taxpayers something like $100 million. The Malaysians giving us any sort of refund on that, or is this money that the Australian taxpayers have got to bear?
Look, in the first 2 years, the initial search by Fugro, the cost was well over $200 million. And we're not even talking about the costs that went with local private jet operators. About nine of them were involved out of Perth for weeks. You know, millions of dollars pouring into rich men's pockets because the way the scatterbrain approach to this search was conducted. But we know where the aeroplane is. We know that latitude 38 south on the seventh arc, that seventh satellite transmission, the ATSB, the science group, us pilots, we all agree it started its final descent there. They say, oh, it then more or less crashed vertically, but there was no debris because it didn't crash uncontrolled. And we say, no, it flew for about another 130 kilometres on a track of 188. And my colleague, Simon Hardy, who's a British Airways Boeing 777 training captain, he personally presented to the ATSB 4 years ago, this is where the aeroplane is.
Has anybody looked there?
Has anyone been there and had a look?
No. No, the ATSB says, oh, well, we don't. Well, our evidence points to it being an uncontrolled crash.
Yeah.
And Simon, he's done it twice in the simulator. I did it in Nemeritz Boeing 777 simulator. We know where the aeroplane is. Our defined search area, we could have it done in a week. Mm-hmm. And we've been pushing for this and pushing for this, and we just get ignored and lied to by the ATSB.
They don't want you to find it, by the
way. Okay, it's all very, very murky and very troublesome. Byron, thank you very much for your time, mate. Good to talk to you.
You're most welcome.
Thank you, Byron. Bye-bye. Thank you for your time. Yeah.
And I think the line that caught me was that line that said that original turn was done by human hand.
Yeah.
And then the flaps were down.
Yes,
it was a human controlled landing into the ocean.
Yep.
It's just beyond the pale that the Australian taxpayers have had to fork up about $100 million on this. Mm. And it's quite clear that there's some sort of cover up going on.
I think we're obliged to do that if it's allegedly in our territory.
Sorry, to hell with them. Mm.